Welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. I'm your host, Eric Steven. I have a Dodgers rewind for you today, and I have a co-host because Jacob Birch is with me. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
All right. Doing well. Happy to look back at a former Dodger. It's Alan Foster. Before we go into Alan Foster, what do you know, if anything, about Alan Foster as it relates to the Dodgers?
Nothing.
Okay. So
except what I can read in the show notes right now.
That's right. Yeah. There'd be maybe just
start rattling off. Yeah. Well, let me tell you.
Yeah. So 1965 was the first year of the MLB draft, and he was the second player ever drafted by the Dodgers. It was in the second round out of Los Altos High School in Hacienda Heights, which I was looking. It's like I can probably get there in like 10 to 15 minutes tops from my apartment. The True Blue LA West Covina office is how I noted it. In high school, he pitched 3 no-hitters in a 10-start span. Pretty highly sought after. The Dodgers in the first round that year drafted Bakersfield High School shortstop John Wyatt in the first round, and he never advanced past Class A. Foster had a commitment to UCLA, but he and his dad, like reading up on this, he made it known that he only wanted to sign with the Dodgers or Angels, play locally. And so no one would sort of meet their demand. So he ended up signing with the Dodgers for $100,000, which was the same amount that Rick Monday got as the first overall pick by the A's that year. Kansas City A's that year, too. Like, that's weird because that's their – I mean, not that I remember the Philadelphia A's or anything, but it's weird to be the middle city of a three-team – three-city team like that, because you're like, Kansas City A's, that sounds weird to say, right? Like, but before we go into sort of Alan Foster's Dodgers exploits, Foster in 1969 in June pitched consecutive shutouts for the Dodgers, 2 in a row. There have only been 5 longer streaks of shutouts of at least 9 innings by L.A. Dodger by 5 different pitchers. Name them.
Okay. That's not a question. That's an order.
That's right. Yes, it is. It's a command.
The trivia directive.
Yeah, that's right. So you have time to sort of come up with a group, and we'll get to that a little later. But right. before we get to those shutouts, Foster made his debut with the Dodgers in 1967. He was age 20. He pitched in April twice, and then he pitched twice again in the final week of the season. In between, he had 2 more no-hitters in AAA in Spokane. Both were against the same opponent, the Seattle Angels, which also feels very weird to say. They were a AAA team. August 16th was on the road in Seattle. First game of a doubleheader, so that one was only 7 innings. He struck out 7 and walked 5, so sort of a classic wild no-hitter. The second one was September 1st. It was the second straight time he had faced the Seattle Angels, but not his second straight start. I've seen it, in fact, the back of his 1970 Topps baseball card, it mentioned that the highlights of his brief career were the 2 no-hitters he hurled for Spokane in consecutive appearances against Seattle in 1967. Now that I read that, they said it perfectly, and I read it the first time as consecutive starts, which really threw me off. But it wasn't. He had a few starts in between, but still, no hitting a team two times in a row that you see them is pretty great. September 1st was the second one, 9 innings this time. He was much better, 9 strikeouts and a walk. So 1968, he had another cup of coffee. He pitched 3 games that year. In spring training, he was highly sort of touted. And there was an article on him in spring training. I'm just going to read you the entire lead by Walter Johns of the Central Press. This was from Vero Beach in spring training. Quote, another guitar-playing act has joined the Los Angeles Dodgers. Pitchers Jim Mudcat Grant and Alan Foster. You've heard of Mudcat, former Indian and Twin, who can shuffle those feet, and he will be joined by Foster, rookie pitcher, who joins with roommate Tom Hutton, an infielder, in an act which already has appeared in a Japanese nightclub. Like, what? They didn't go into details about the Japanese nightclub in the story that I found. So I don't know what's going on there, but apparently Alan Foster could play the guitar. So that's my takeaway from that. So, but that was about his, the bulk of his impact of 1968 was that article. That was the force of it. He was with the Dodgers for the whole year in 1969. He started off in the bullpen, and then he joined the rotation at the end of April when Don Drysdale was hurt. Drysdale that year was sort of hurt off and on. He only started 12 games, and then he ended up retiring at the end of the season, but it was like intermittent. It's not like he just had one injury and then just didn't play. He missed a little bit, then he'd come back, then he missed a little bit more. Foster that year was up and down, so he had a not to the minors, just up and down performance wise. He had a 5.65 ERA heading into play June 8th when he had two scoreless innings in relief. Then he started on June 13th. He beat the Mets 1-0. He stranded 7 singles and a walk. That was the first complete game for Foster. It was also a shutout. From the UPI game report, Alan Foster said, "I've waited a long time for that one. I thought it would never come." And then in the Long Beach Press-Telegram, a writer named Fred Clare, future Dodgers PR man and then future GM, quote, "Alan Foster, at the age of 22, describes himself as a conservative person who thinks a lot about what the future holds. The Dodgers think a lot about Foster's future. They see it as a bright one." So we'll talk a little bit more about that future for Foster after the break. So despite those two shutouts, Foster had a 4.38 ERA in 1969. He pitched in 24 games, including 15 starts, 102 and two-thirds innings. But he's more known for something that happened later that season. August 5th at Dodger Stadium, left fielder Andy Costco hit a 3-run home run in the 7th inning off Steve Blass. That tied the Dodgers-Pirates game at 3-3. Foster came in to pitch the 7th, Okay, so Costco's home run was in the 6th, my bad. So Foster came in, pitched the 7th in relief of Don Drysdale. Foster, he struck out Richie Hebner, which this is another sort of Topps classic bit of information that everyone knows because of Topps, I would say. Richie Hebner in the off seasons was a grave digger.
We all done the grave shift. Huh?
Who among us? Yeah. So he fanned Richie Hebner to open the inning. Then came Willie Stargell. This is from the Associated Press. Quote, "The count was 1-2 on Stargell when Alan Foster tried to break off a curve to the Pittsburgh slugger. Boom. The shot, his 18th this season, bounced off the right field pavilion roof and landed outside Dodger Stadium. The first time a home run has cleared the bleachers since the place opened in 1962. Quote, "I wasn't thinking of a home run," Stargell said. "I was just trying to keep from over swinging. I would say it worked." The home run I've seen listed at between either 480 feet or 507 feet. Either way, it was the first home run hit out of Dodger Stadium. Stargell was also the second player to hit a home run out of Dodger Stadium. He did so in 1973 off Andy Messersmith. After him, the only ones to do it are Mike Piazza in 97, Mark McGuire in 99, Giancarlo Stanton in 2015, and then Fernando Tatis Jr. last year. I was there for the Tatis one, and there was like a shock when it happened because you can't tell when like that. You just know it's far, and then you're like, "Wait, did that go over?" it was just the buzz. There's a buzz happening, and everyone's like, "Oh, he really nailed that one."
And I was there for Mark McGuire's, but I was 13, not like yeah, 13, and I am remembering it being at the stadium where I heard buzz of, "Oh, he hit it out of the stadium." Yeah. But maybe I'm fusing things together and it was after the fact. But for a while, I was like, yeah, that's what a home run is. I don't get it. He hit a home run. Yeah, he hit, not realizing, out of the stadium.
I remember Piazza's being on ESPN, Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken. So that was a big thing, that made it sort of bigger.
And also, this was peak Mark McGuire, you know, national hero. So just, think of perhaps, I can't recall a Dodger Stadium home crowd being excited about a Cardinal hitting a home run, but it happened then.
Yeah.
Maybe
just
later.
Just like it happened when Albert Pujols hit his 700th. Yeah. Side note, did you see the clip? I think after the game, Dave Roberts addressed this, but He said, you know, it was just an exciting baseball moment or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Roberts is in the dugout.
I did see the
he immediately
goes, yeah.
Yeah. And then like, oh, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it was just really funny. Even like Andrew Heaney and Phil Bickford, who gave up 699 and 700, they were like, at least, you know, at least it's Albert or something. You know, like, like they weren't like sore about it or anything.
And they weren't cheapos either. Yeah. Oh, not to get too distracted.
Yeah, they were no doubters. Just like Sargil. So Foster, he was in the Dodgers rotation all year long in 1970. 4.26 ERA. He made 33 starts, just shy of 200 innings. He had 198 and two-thirds. But he also had almost as many walks, 81, as strikeouts, 83. So the Dodgers traded him to Cleveland in December 1970, along with reliever Ray Lamb. Side note for Ray Lamb, he briefly wore number 42 in 1969. I believe it was a mix-up. He's the only post-Jackie Robinson Dodger to wear number 42 in a non-ceremonial fashion. Those two were traded for catcher Duke Sims, who was a backup for the Dodgers for a little bit. And that brings me back to the two shutouts in a row. There are only five Dodger pitchers with longer shutout streaks. LA Dodger pitchers, can you name them?
I believe it was name them.
Yeah.
I'm still
I saw it a little bit. Just like I didn't lead with the Willie Stargell home run in describing Alan Foster, I went the opposite with you. Like I gave Alan Foster the empathy of sort of building him up before like saying, here's this thing that this guy gave up like that he's most known for. But instead with you, I was like right away, I'm like, answer this jerk. Like that's my thing. So sorry, but yeah.
Okay. Fernando Valenzuela.
Fernando had a 3 shutout streak. This was in Fernando Mania. I believe he had 5 shutouts in his first 8 starts, but he like mixed in a bunch of like, it was 2 1-run games and a 2-run game in his 8 starts. So yeah.
But still on the list. Darn it.
Yep, on the list for sure.
Oral Hershiser.
Oral Hershiser had, I'm parsing this. Okay, so he had 5 straight shutouts.
Pretty good.
But also the 6th start in that group was a 10-inning no-run game that went 16. So he didn't get a shutout for it, which is why he ended up with one more inning than a certain someone who's also on this list.
Don Drysdale?
Don Drysdale had 6 shutouts in a row in 1968.
Sandy Koufax?
Koufax had 3 shutouts in a row in July in 1963. That was his MVP season and his first Cy Young.
Oh, now we hit the right. I've used my good, my like, I am feeling good about guessing these. So now we're purely in guessing. Don Sutton?
Yes, you nailed it. I was going to give you a hint and just be like, just ride the,
yeah.
Like the Hall of Fame
the
train.
Hall of Famers.
Sutton was 1972. It was in September, 3 straight. So, yeah, good job. The last, I was looking at the list of 2 straight shutouts.
Yeah, I'm glad. We're on the same page here. I was going to ask, when was the last time someone did 2?
So, I'm actually surprised by this. Hideo Nomo in 1995.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, what's weird about that, so Greinke and Kershaw both had scoreless streaks into the 40s.
Yeah.
But I believe they didn't mix like 2 shutouts.
No, I was curious about Kershaw because I seem to recall not during that streak, and I, you know, maybe I'm totally misremembering, but like maybe it was 3 or like maybe it was 2 shutouts in like 4 games or something like that. I'm gonna look this up while I see if I can figure that out, and I'll let you know if I find anything. Maybe next week on the next rewind. But
so, 4 years with the Dodgers, Alan Foster had a 4.07 ERA. That's an 88 ERA plus, so a little below average, but 334 innings. He pitched well after leaving. 6 years with Cleveland, the Angels, the Cardinals, and Padres. He had a 3.58 ERA in those years, which is 101 ERA plus. So essentially a league average pitcher for 692 innings. So not bad. 10-year major league career. The first Dodger draft pick or the earliest Dodger draft pick to reach the majors. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Of the Dodgers draft picks to reach the majors, he was the first one picked, if that makes sense. He was their second ever draft pick in 1965. So that's Alan Foster. Hope you enjoyed this rewind. And
I'm going to real quick. I found it quicker than I thought. 2015, Kershaw had a shutout on July 8th and a shutout on July 23rd. With All-Star in between, and then had an 8-inning pitched win, no runs given up in Washington. So
what a slacker!
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that's what I was thinking about.
We will never do a Dodgers rewind on Clayton Kershaw. That's my solemn vow to you.
But thank you. That was a fun one.
Yeah, I liked it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.